Thanks, Jeff. I signed up for the men's retreat this morning, so I hope you guys can join me. My registration is in the box in the back. Yes, all right, BJ's going. Some of you are like, man, I'm not going because he signed up. All right, well, if you join me with me, I want to start just our time with prayer. Jesus, we thank you. We surrender our hearts to what you're doing this morning. Would you speak through your word, and would you just use me as a tool to communicate what you want to communicate? We thank you, and we say yes to what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. So I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior about 28 years ago now. And even before that time, I was in church. Some of my very earliest memories are of being a child are even at church. Like, I remember my first teachers. I remember all of my Bible school teachers, and I've been in countless churches throughout my life. And all the way through, I remember going to Awana. Many of the verses I memorized in Awana, I still know today because of that time and investment of those leaders. And then once I got into middle school and high school, I attended different churches and was active in youth group and had several different youth leaders at the time, many of which all of which I'm still friends with today, and they're actually still around in this area. And so God has just done a lot of really cool things in my story. And then I went off to Bible college and just continued to grow and walk with God and all of those experiences. And about a decade ago, I was approached about joining the team here at Adventure. And to be honest, I didn't fully know what all of that included or what the culture was like at Adventure, but I had a pretty good idea of what church was like, having been in so many churches and experienced God in so many different ways. But when I came to Adventure, I experienced something different. Things that I had experienced similar in different places, but something was different. When I came to Adventure, a couple of things that I noticed right away were people would get up front and they would read from their journal things that were really deep, things that I didn't expect them to share. Or people would read from their journal about things that they felt like God was leading them to do, or things that that had impacted them. And when I came to Adventure, I experienced a group of people that weren't so passionate about trying to manage their sin, but more about walking with God in real, authentic relationship. And I encountered a group of people, that instead of trying to hide your sin, wanted to walk together in the mess, walk together with me in my mess. And honestly, that's changed my life. It's changed the way that I view my relationship with God. It's changed my experience. And I praise God for all of my time in church from the beginning, and different pieces taught me different things, and I've grown in different ways, and I've experienced similar things in other churches, but there's something unique about this church and the mission that God has brought us here. And the reality is that God has called the church, the global church, to go and make disciples, to evangelize, to disciple, to worship him. That's the purpose of church. That's the purpose of the local church. But God also gives specific missions to each local church, the way they impact their community. If we look throughout the Bible, we can see that certain churches that are listed in Scripture are gifted and talented at certain things. This particular church might be really generous, and they give very well, and this church is particularly good at outreach, and this church is particularly gifted in gifts of healing or in different things, and all these different churches are ways that God moves in that local church to reach that community. But the church itself is all called to fulfill the same promise. And so when I came here, I experienced something incredible, a unique mission that impacted me. And that mission has changed my life. And it's been a pretty wild and crazy adventure since I came here. And the person that I was even 10 years ago, or more than 10 years ago, compared to the person that I am now, is a very different person, in a good way. And I'm excited because I love the culture of Adventure. I love being here and being a part of this church family, and I love that I get to call you my church family. And I'm excited, though, because because of that, I'm excited to share kind of this morning as we begin our new series called Live the Adventure. I'm excited to share kind of where we're going for the next decade. Because over the last year, the elders have spent a lot of time devoting in prayer, just saying, okay, Lord, where do you want us to go next? What's the adventure that you are calling us into? And what does that look like for this church? What's the mission that you've called us to uniquely that you want us to walk out in this community, in Duval? And Duval is an interesting town. It's different than anywhere else. If you live in Duval, you know what I'm talking about. If you drive through Duval, you're like, wow, this is kind of an odd town. It looks like this small kind of cow town thing, but everybody works at Microsoft or a tech company. You know, it's weird. It's a weird little place, but it's an amazing place. And God has a specific purpose that he has us here. So welcome. My name is BJ Hillebush. I'm the lead pastor here at Adventure. And if you don't know me, I'm excited to share with you this morning some things that God has placed on my heart for where we're going. And over the next several weeks, we're going to be going through this series called Live the Adventure. And it's going to be kind of a deeper dive in what are the things that God's calling Adventure to do? A unique way that we fulfill the promise that God has called the global church to do, but the mission that God has called us to do in our community. So I want to just start off really quickly by jumping right into sharing the vision that we feel like God has led us to. And it's simply this: hearts restored and people set free to adventure with God. That's Adventure's vision, to see hearts restored and people set free to adventure with God. Throughout Scripture, when we look at what God says and what God calls people to, there's always this, when God says, like, when he sees someone that's hurting, he always asks them the question, do you want to be well? Do you want to be free? And then he says, come and follow me. Right? There's a process of this invitation. God just doesn't come and force the healing on us. He invites us into it. And there's an amazing thing about this vision. You notice it doesn't say that we will restore hearts and we will set people free. Why? Because we can't do that. I can't do that. I can't restore your heart or set you free. I can, however, point you to the one who can. And throughout Scripture, we see these stories of people that were blind and they were made to see. And the first thing they do is say, I was blind, but now I'm see. Let me point you back to the person who did that work. And so our vision here at Adventure is to see that happen. And ultimately, not just to stand around and be restored and set free, but then to join God in that adventure, right? The purpose of Jesus coming and restoring us isn't so that we just sit down and we go, okay, great, I'm restored. I'm good. No, the purpose is to go and tell others, right? To use the gifts and the talents and the treasures that he's given us to go communicate that, to say, hey, let me show you how I've been transformed and invite others into it. And so the way that kind of our mission is, we want to make disciples who engage in the five streams. And when I say stream, what I mean is this, simply kind of a core value, all right? So a core value is something like a standard that we live by. And we like to use the word stream because imagine with me this kind of image of a kind of a dry desert, and then this slow trickle of water comes in. And as the water comes in and more water comes in, then this life and abundance forms. In areas that were dry and desolate now become revitalized and abundant in life. And so we like to use this idea of a stream because it's streams coming together. It's something we continue to walk in. It's not something that just stays static, but it's moving. It's moving forward with God in adventure. And so I'm going to quickly overview the five streams, and then I'll share some specifics. So the five streams are simply this. The first is we walk with God. We are being restored. We are warriors, we are family, and we are on mission. So the first is this, we walk with God. And this part or this stream of adventure is simply this. This is the relationship, not the religion, right? And I think about walking with God is not just about calling yourself a Christian and then praying before meals. Walking with God is about a relationship with Jesus that impacts every area of your life. Something as simple as praying for a parking spot. I mean, have you ever prayed for a parking spot? Have you ever thought, wow, God doesn't care what parking spot I would get in. God wouldn't provide a parking spot. Well, walking with God is relationship. It's inviting him into everything, the simplest things in our life, right? All the way to the deepest parts of our heart. It's everything. Everything is encompassed in walking with God. Saying, Jesus, I want you to be a part of every aspect of my life, the decisions that I make, whether they be big or whether they be small. Jesus, would you impact the way that I serve my family? Would you impact me the way that I love my spouse? Or what about, say, right in the middle, you're in the argument, you're in the middle of an argument with your spouse. It means stopping and taking time to pray together and say, Lord, what's your perspective? What do you want to say to us right now? How can we love each other the way that you have called us to? And practically, this looks like prayer or reading his word or following his voice. And so as a community, we walk with God. That's what it means here at Adventure. That's a stream that we walk in. Next is restoration. And we are being restored. And restoration is simply the act of returning something to former glory or condition. So in the garden, God created mankind in the image of himself and for a purpose, to glorify himself. And when sin happened, we were separated and this right relationship with God was taken. And he's come back with this mission of restoration, of healing us back to our former glory and inviting us into that with him. And this looks like everything, simple things from me becoming more patient or me becoming a better person or loving people well. Or it looks like inviting God into the deep areas of my life that I've said, this is off limits and I won't talk about that. Or the ways that I've been hurt in my past, or maybe that others have hurt me. It includes all of that. It's this process of sanctification, which is God making us look more like him. Every area of our life saying, God, I want more. And I love the idea of this, because when Jesus came to restore us, it's not a partial restoration. It's any area in our life that's experiencing less than complete abundance, he's come to restore. Any area that's experiencing less than abundance, he's come to restore. All areas, physical, spiritual, mental, he's come to bring healing and restoration. He says, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. So anything less than abundant, Jesus has come to restore. So is there an area in your life where it feels like, wow, this is less than abundant? I'm not experiencing what I know is to be abundant. Jesus wants to restore that. Jesus wants to restore that. And so at Adventure, we are being restored. Next is, we are warriors. The Bible's very clear when it talks about the fact that our story has an enemy, right? It says, we don't battle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And being in church most of my life, there were times where this was talked about, but honestly, in many churches, it was one of those things that it was talked about, but there wasn't really any application to it. And I've gone to some great churches, and I think God was moving in those churches in mighty ways. But I think one thing that I have learned since my time at Adventure is that when the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you, it means that we have to actually resist. It means that somebody has to say no. It means when somebody is hurting around us or when they're believing lies, or that we have to take every thought captive and say no. No, I will not fall into depression or discouragement. No, I will not let this person next to me or my family or my child or my spouse fall into these lies. I'm going to stop and I'm going to say no. And that means that we have to engage in this battle. And does it mean that there's a demon under every bush? No, it doesn't. But what it does mean is that we're not going to walk blindly and fall into the enemy's trap of believing that he's not there, which is what this world wants. We walk through and we experience a challenge in life and we just go, oh, I'm just having a bad day. No, John 10:10, the verse that we've been quoting, says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. So Jesus has come for abundant life. So anything we experience less than abundant life, the enemy's got a hand in it because he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And so as believers, we have to resist. That means, practically, that means taking some time to pray over your home, to pray over your family, to pray over your children. It means the next time that you are fighting with your spouse or your child, stopping and recognizing the enemy's involvement in the way that you're communicating or the lies that are being communicating, and stopping and saying, no, Satan, we are not going to give you power in our relationship. We're gonna resist you right now, sending him away because we have power and authority as heirs, as co-heirs with Christ. We have the power to resist, and the Bible says that he will flee. And so that means engaging in the battle. And so at Adventure, we are warriors. The next is community. We are family. We are made in the image of a group, the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God in three persons. And the beauty of that is we are made for community. Every person longs to be known and understood, and every person longs to experience true connection with others. And that means that not only can we not do it alone, we don't want to do it alone. Right? That means that whenever I'm experiencing abundant life, whenever I am walking with God and God says, go this direction, it means I say, hey, come with me. Whenever I experience restoration in my life, I say, hey, let me show you what that can be. Whenever we're on mission together and we're walking or we're fighting together, we're doing it together. And we're a family, and that means that sometimes we laugh together. That means sometimes we cry together. But it means that when you're struggling, we don't just say, oh, they're struggling, and we kick them to the curb. That means, no, we come alongside and say, hey, how can we support? How can we fight together? And in the Bible, it talks about how we are the body of Christ, this image that each person makes up a part. And together, we make up the body of Christ. So you, each one of us has a part to play, a gift, a talent, a treasure to contribute to the body of Christ. And every person is needed to move forward. We can't walk without all the parts of the body. And so God's calling each of us to be a part of the story. And so at Adventure, we are family. And the last is this, we are on mission. And we believe that God created every man, woman, and child for a purpose. And all throughout Scripture, we're told to go or to make disciples, right? Or to love our neighbors or to run the race. But each one of these directives require action on our part, right? They require some sort of movement or engagement. God always calls us to mission. And so whether that mission means you go on the mission field, Wes and Judy Robbie were here this morning, and they're missionaries of Adventures in the Philippines. So maybe that's the mission God calls you to. Or maybe God calls you to just be bold and love your neighbor. Or maybe God calls you to be like Nick, somebody who has experienced the mission here of Adventure and come back and continue to serve the body of Christ here. Whatever that mission is, whatever gifts or talents or treasures that God has given you, it means that we use them. We use them to further his kingdom. When God says go, we say where to. Right? We join him in that mission. And it means that we don't just sit around and get the restoration and freedom and then not say anything. It means that we run around like the blind man or like the person that was freed from demonic possession. And he runs around and he tells everyone he can, this is where I found freedom. Let me point you to the same person. And so at Adventure, we are on mission. So why five streams? Over the last decade, Adventure has actually had kind of four streams that have been, the first four were the ones that I mentioned to you. Those have been streams of Adventure, ways that we have walked with God and experienced abundance here at Adventure. But as we've continued to pray about kind of where we go for the next decade, constantly we feel like the Lord's saying, join me on mission, right? That we can't continue to sit in a cycle of restoration and healing. We need to go. We need to communicate that out, and we need to join him in what he's doing. And so we're excited to see what God is going to do for the next decade as we continue to step into this. And so why this mission? Why is our vision to see hearts restored and people set free in Adventure with God? In short, because God told us. In January, the elders, we took a time away just to specifically pray about what God's direction was. And over the past year, we've continued to seek the Lord on that. And I want to share with you a passage. You can open your Bibles to Isaiah 61 if you have it. If not, I'll open it up on the screen here. And in this passage, the book of Isaiah is in the Old Testament. And so this is before the time of kind of Christ's incarnation here on earth. And so this is actually a prophecy of the coming Messiah. And in this prophecy, it explains the Messiah's purpose, what he would do here on earth. And I want to read that to you. It says this: "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." And so the Messiah's mission is clear: to bring good news to the poor. And that doesn't mean just financially poor. Those who are afflicted, to bind up brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty, to release those who are bound in chains. This is the mission of the coming Messiah: to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance, and to comfort all who mourn. And instead of ashes, which was the custom to kind of cover themselves in ashes and mourning, there would be oil of gladness and a headdress, like almost like a victory, or a victory crown that they would celebrate, and a garment of praise instead of a faint spirit or instead of discouragement. And it says at the end that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And so the Messiah's mission is to come and bring healing and restoration, and so that those were brokenhearted, those were captives, would be set free, and they would be called oaks of righteousness for one purpose, right there at the end, that he may be glorified. That's his point. That's his purpose, that he may be glorified. And we know that this Messiah is Jesus, and these words are his mission, and we know that because he said so himself. So if we look in the New Testament, this is in Luke chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 4 and verse 16, or chapter 4, verse 16. And this is Jesus after his temptation in the desert. He comes back to Nazareth, the place that he was kind of raised and grew up in. And here's where we pick up. It says this: "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written: 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.' And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, 'Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.'" So Jesus' mission is clear. He comes and he says, "Here's why I'm here." Today, standing in the synagogue, as he reads these words, he says, "Today, this mission is fulfilled because I'm here. That is my purpose. To bind up the brokenhearted, to set people free, to bring freedom and restoration." And he is the Messiah that does that. He's the one that does the work, and that's his purpose. But there's something interesting. If we go back to the passage that he's quoting exactly what we read in Isaiah. He's reading it. That's the passage that he's reading that morning. If we go back, we can see he actually stops mid-sentence. So if you see there, verse 2, it says, "To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then there's a comment. It says, "In the day of vengeance of our God." He doesn't read that part. He stops. He stops mid-sentence. It's not done. And he says, "Today, this is fulfilled." Why? Because Jesus came first as a suffering servant. First, he came to set people free, to make a way back to the Father. But there will be a time where he'll fulfill the rest of it, the day of vengeance. And a day of vengeance is coming. A day when Christ comes back and he brings justice and vengeance to the wickedness. And it's all the tears are wiped away. That's the second coming. And when he comes back as a victorious king. And that day will come, but it hasn't come yet. And so we are in this year of restoration, this time of God's favor. And that's his mission and purpose. And as believers, we don't have to fear his second coming. It's something we get to look forward to, a day in eternity with him. If you look ahead, I'm not going to read it, but in Isaiah 61, starting in verse 4 through 7, it talks about the result of his return. for the people that are called Oaks of Righteousness. And it says that they go on to rebuild ancient cities and restore places that were long devastated. And that's the mission that we have. That's the result of his return, is that we can go and restore what's been broken. And the reality is, as we look around in our world today, there are cities that have been devastated. There are ruins that need to be restored, whether it be in someone's heart or in someone's marriage or in their city or in a town or in poverty or whatever it is in their story. Restoration is desperately needed, and that's our mission. And so why is Adventure's vision to see hearts restored and people set free to adventure with God? Quite frankly, because it's Jesus' mission. It's his mission. And it's not that we are doing. We're not restoring the hearts and setting people free to adventure with God. We are simply joining him on his mission. And we are saying, hey, I once was broken. I once was blind. I once was in complete separation from God, but now I found the healer. And I want to point you to him. And that's what we do. And so our purpose is to lead those to the only one that can restore and set people free, and that's Jesus Christ. And so what does it feel like to do that? What does it feel like to go there? About 9 months ago, Nicole and I, we got together and had dinner. We were eating some Thai food in Monroe with a former youth leader of mine. And she moved away, and she lives on the East Coast now. And we were just sitting there just sharing all these stories of when we used to do ministry together. And just recalling of time, you know, different retreats that we had and times that we pray and walk with God and fight with each other. And as she was saying all that, or as we were kind of sharing these stories, she made a comment that I think really encompasses this. She said, during that season of my life with that team, I believe I got the closest glimpse of what true community in heaven will be like in eternity. And I think as I recall back to that time, it was us walking in these streams, walking with God together, saying, God, what do you want to do? Where do you want to go? Fighting together, fighting for each other's hearts and saying no to the enemy, and walking in community and doing it together, being on mission, having a purpose, serving in the youth ministry. And it's in that moment, in those times when I look back at that, and that's just one of many in my story, but it's in those times when we walk in the depth of those streams that we experience. And I think her words are great. It's that picture of, I get a glimpse of what it's like in eternity. Now, the reality is, I won't ever fully experience that until I'm in eternity with Jesus. But what we experience is that abundant life that Christ has come for. We get glimpses of heaven to see what it's like. To say, yes, Lord, I want more and more. I want to experience more and more of those glimpses. I want to taste more and more of what is available to be had. And that's what it looks like to walk in the five streams. And the reality is, each one of these streams are not completely independent. I can't just walk with God. I can't just sit by myself in isolation and just read my Bible and pray and never talk to anyone, right? It just like, I need to be a part of community. I need to be involved with other people. God has called me to mission. So if that's all I do, then I'm not fulfilling the other parts of his promise. And I can't receive that kind of restoration without engaging in some warfare. And so each one of these streams flow together. And as we walk in them, then that promise of abundant life becomes more and more tangible. And so if we walk in just one of these streams, then as we aim for that abundant life, it feels elusive because we're not engaging in each part of the story. And so how do we do that? How do we take this mission, right, the unique flavor that God has called this church? Well, God has called us to restore hearts, to invite people into his restoring and setting people free to adventure. So how do we do that? Well, the first thing that comes to me is that if that's God's mission, what he founded this church on and where he wants us to go for the next decade, then there must be a lot of hurting people in this town. Because I think there's a lot of missions that God could call us too. But for this time and for this place, this is the mission that he picked for us. And so I think what that looks like is simply this. We want to walk in the five streams, each one of us, every one of us engage in this, walking with God on our own and joining in this, and then simply invite others to do it with us. If I'm walking with God, then if God says, go here, then I want to invite somebody along with me and say, hey, God's saying, go here, let's go here. Or if I'm, you know, if I experience restoration in an area of life, say, hey, I can see you're wrestling with this. Hey, come, let me point you to the restorer. Or if somebody's wrestling with someone, instead of just saying, oh, you know, they're just struggling with something. No, it's saying, hey, how can I fight with you? How can we do it together? And grabbing as many people as we can and charging forward. And so over the next several weeks, we're going to unpack this more. Now, I've been praying about this for over a year. I've been walking with God in the midst of this. I know this is a lot of information for you guys, and maybe you're feeling a little overwhelmed, or you're thinking to yourself, man, I want to walk with God, but I don't know what that looks like, or I don't know what the next step is, or, you know, I like this idea that you're talking about warfare, but I don't know how to do that. How do I resist the enemy? Well, over the next several weeks, we're going to talk about that, and we're going to present some handles, some ways for you guys to go, okay, I want to go deeper with that. Here's a way that I can take the next step. But as we do that, I just want to remind us of one thing. Every time that Jesus approached someone who was hurting or who was a captive, he always started by, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be set free? That's always what he starts with. And then he says, come and follow me. And so for each one of us, we have to say, yes. There has to be some involvement. We have to choose to say, yes, Lord, I want to be made well. I want restoration in these areas. And the reality is sometimes that's scary. Sometimes the areas that are broken in our lives, they feel more comfortable than the risk of saying, yes, I want to actually work through this problem. And so as we go through this process, I encourage you, say yes. Say yes. And I just want to end with two kind of special or two action points that we can take today. First is this. I want to encourage you, this is the direction of adventure for the next decade. God has been doing some incredible things here in my life, and many of you have stories, and we're going to hear so many of them over this series, hearing your stories about what God has been up to. And so the first thing I want to do is I want to invite you to commit to the series. Come hear about what God is doing and where he's leading us. So over the next several weeks, if you miss a Sunday, pick it up on our audio on our website or on our app and try to follow along with us. Would you commit to that? And the second thing is men's and women's ministry have just started. Women's ministry kicked off last week. Men's ministry is kicking off this Wednesday. And if you're able, plug in. Jump in because those ministries are aligned with what we're doing and they're going to have opportunities to dive deeper, continue to walk with God deeper in these streams, and you'll learn more about what that looks like. And ultimately, what are the rewards, right? Jesus has come that we may have life and have it abundantly. My hope is that every single person in here, very similar to what Jeff said, that a year from now, we wouldn't look like the people that we looked then. We'd experience more abundance and more life. And at the end, the ultimate glory is when Jesus says, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. Because we joined him in his mission and what he's doing. So whether that be you continue to grow here and plug in here at Adventure, or God calls you to take what you're learning here and bring it to another church, or to go plant a church, or to go on the mission field somewhere else. Whatever that mission is, any way that God can use your gifts, I hope that we can all continue to walk and live the adventure together. I'm going to pray, and I want to invite the worship team. Jesus, we thank you. God, we thank you for what you're doing in our hearts. And God, we thank you that you have come to bring restoration. And Lord, I pray, even now, Lord, we resist the enemy that says, well, I haven't experienced that kind of restoration in this area. Or there's still some areas that feel off limits, or I've tried and I just can't seem to move past it. So together, we say no to the enemy. We resist him and we claim the truth. As you say in your word, Lord, to take every thought captive and submit it to the truth. And so, Lord, we do that now. And also, Lord, we silence the lie that maybe there's an area that feels like freedom is impossible. This is an issue I've carried for years. Lord, we bind and silence that in your name, Jesus. And God, we claim the truth that you have come to set us free. And Lord, we say yes to the adventure that you want us. Would you help reveal our gifts today? and our passions. And if anyone is wrestling with feeling like, I've served my time and there's nothing left, or I don't have any gifts or any talents or any way to serve, Lord, we know the truth is that you have called each one of us to use whatever we have to be a part of your kingdom. And so, Lord, would you use us? Would you help us to be a church that lives the adventure with you? In Jesus' name, amen.